meeting for you. The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. Honorable Robert M. Davis presided. All our business before this court draw near, you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Judge Davis, to my right is Judge Meredith, and to my left is Judge Toth. We're here today in the matter of Withers against Shulkin, docket number 16-3543. Would counsel for both parties please note your appearance for the record?
Thank you, Chief Judge Davis. I'm Barbara Cook on behalf of the appellant, the law firm of Chisholm, Chisholm & Kilpatrick. With me at counsel table is Lai Odinbo, also of the firm.
Good. Welcome here. Good to see you, Ms. Cook.
Counsel for the appellee, Shannon Leahy, and with me at counsel table is Deputy Chief Counsel Carolyn Washington.
Good. Welcome here. Ms. Washington, always good to see you all as well. I love law arguments because it takes me back to law school days, except in this case I'm the student and you all are the professors. So I get to ask questions and you get to enlighten me. In any event, are both parties ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. And each party will have 30 minutes to present your respective arguments. Counsel for the appellant, do you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
I do. I wish to reserve 10 minutes.
Okay. So noted. Thank you. You may proceed, Ms. Cook.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. The Secretary's one-dimensional definition of sedentary employment is inadequate because no job is just sitting. Instead, as we discussed in the supplemental pleading, sedentary work has many parts. It has what is done while the person is actually sitting, using his hands. Does he have to move his neck? Does he have to bend to pick things up or reach? Does he have to lift things? It includes what is done when not sitting. Does he have to walk, climb, bend, stoop? It also includes what is required throughout the workday, such as, which we and Social Security calls non-exertional aspects of work, such as reliability, he has to show up, such as concentration and focus on productivity, he has to actually do the job that is assigned. But the Secretary, one-dimensional, as I said, definition, does not account for those components. It doesn't account for the full scope of sedentary employment. And as a result, it provides no guidance to anyone involved in the process, not to the examiners, not to the adjudicators, not to veterans, and not to this court.
Ms. Cook, let me just cut to the chase here. excuse me. 4.16 says nothing about sedentary work, but it does say something about substantially gainful occupation, and really that's the crux of the matter, isn't it? And doesn't the court's case law really define substantially gainful employment, occupation, and do we need to do more than that?
If I may, Chief Justice Davis, you're right, the regulation does not say sedentary work or sedentary employment. It does refer to substantially gainful occupation. But a substantially gainful occupation, to determine whether a person can do a substantially gainful occupation, VA, like Social Security, has to figure out what are the components of that work. And so that's where we get into the exertional, sedentary, medium, light, as well as the non-exertional. And, in fact, that's what the board looked at here, was whether the veteran could do, they decided that he could do sedentary or light or limited work. But so the physical exertions are one subset of that. So in some ways, one might say that the secretary, or that the board was rather interpreting the term substantially gainful occupation. But as your second question, the second part of your question, whether the court has already defined the term, the answer is no. The court has looked at it in terms of economic factors, recognizing that income below the poverty level is not marginal, recognizing that where an individual is fully productive, as was the case in Faust, that the fact that he could earn more money but for his service-connected disabilities does not entitle him to TDIU benefits. But those are all economic considerations, and so the court has not yet defined sedentary work or substantially gainful employment within the context of what are the exertional and non-exertional requirements for work. And, in fact, that is shown in this case because the board, in fact, did not use any definition that the court had ever provided, simply because the court has not yet done that. But the result was that everyone in this case was using a different definition. They're sort of throwing words around. They're kind of at a loss. For example, the 2010 C&P examiner, this is at page 713 and 715 of the record, said that the veteran could do sedentary or light work, but he could not do strenuous or sustained work. But sustained is not a synonym for strenuous, but that's how he's treating it. I mean, the problem of doing sustained work could exist even if he is only able to do sedentary or light work, which is, in fact, one of the problems that Mr. Withers has. Similarly, the board, throughout its decision, referenced the veteran's ability to do light or sedentary work. That's at page 11 and 16 of the board's decision. But then at page 15, it says, but he could do limited work. And again, limited work is a different concept from light or sedentary. And as we pointed out in our supplemental pleading, the general counsel also confused ideas or merged ideas when they referred to sedentary being much sitting or sometimes mostly sitting. Again, these are different concepts.
But counsel, isn't the classic statutory and regulatory interpretation requires that we look at common meanings of words if they are not in a statute or a regulation, if they're referred to. And the denotative definition of sedentary is pretty generally accepted, isn't it? I mean, do we really need to start defining terms that aren't even in the regulatory structure?
Well, I think the court does need to do this, Your Honor, because of the confusion that exists, as I just described, in terms of how these cases are adjudicated. And there is no, without a clear definition, there is no clear standard by which to decide what does it mean when we are told, for example, that the veteran can only walk for 10 or 15 minutes. Does that or does that not mean that he can do sedentary work? The only way one knows the significance of that is by knowing what sedentary work requires. The fact that he could only stand for 15 to 30 minutes, does that or does that not mean that he can do sedentary work? The Secretary's definition doesn't account for this because he doesn't talk about the standing piece of sedentary work, but that's what is required. And in terms of whether to use the dictionary definition, the answer has to be no, because first of all, the term is not sedentary. The term is sedentary work or sedentary employment. It's not just the adjective.
Don't you have an idea of what that means?
Well, the problem is...
I have an idea of what that means.
Well, the problem is that we all have ideas about what that means.
But if we begin to define the way you're asking, counsel, we end up with, if the person can stand 19 minutes as opposed to 18 minutes, does that take them out of the category?
No, no, Your Honor, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there are certain requirements, definitions, that the Department of Labor has provided in the Dictionary of Occupational Titles.
But this is the VA.
This is the VA.
Right.
But that
those regulations, should they be applied to the this arena of veterans' benefits?
Unless and until VA comes up with an authoritative definition that takes into account these different components of work. To say that sedentary work is just sitting is simply inadequate because of the huge gaps.
But has anybody said that? I don't. That's not what I imagine when I figure someone who's sedentary is going to get up and down on occasion. I don't suspect they're going to run a 40-yard dash, but I do suspect that they will be able to work at a desk more often than not. Maybe not lift 50-pound boxes of goods, but I suspect they could do some paperwork at a desk. Isn't that what comes to mind when you think about sedentary work?
Well, when you're talking about paperwork at a desk, Your Honor, you're talking about whether they have, you're not just talking about whether they have the manual dexterity, but you're talking about whether they have the skill level to do a job that is paperwork at a desk. There are other sedentary jobs that are unskilled, but regardless, there are the question is what else does it require, and that's where the definition from the DOT comes in. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I thought I heard you say at the beginning of that last question that you hadn't heard anyone say that it was just sitting, but that is what the Secretary is proposing. He has not said anything about non-exertional components, even though this Court has recognized that non-exertional components are a piece of the work. In Gleicher, for example, recognizing that social skills are at issue. In Beatty, recognizing that the environment factors such as dust are at issue. He hasn't recognized any of that. He is saying it is mostly sitting. And as the example we gave in our supplemental pleading, that means that both a truck driver and a secretary are doing sedentary work when that isn't actually the case.
Look, counsel, I wanted to ask you, just so I understand this, the characterization of the ambiguity that you're saying here, is it at the level of adequacy, meaning is it the examiners using this term in a variety of different ways make the examinations inadequate, or is it the board and the reasons and bases, or some combination of these two? Where exactly is sort of locus of this ambiguity?
I think it's pervasive throughout the process, because there is a lack of a clear definition. And so the examiners are saying they're gut reacting. Well, he could do this kind of work, he could do that kind of work. And then the board, using its own concept, is saying he could do this kind of work, he could do that kind of work. The result is that 10 different veterans with the exact same set of facts could go before 10 different examiners or 10 different board members, and we would get 10 different analyses because there is no definition.
But that, I mean, it just sort of is following a Chief Burr's question, which is, that's assuming these words even have legal significance, right? I mean, if the words are not in any code anywhere, if it's a term of art or if it's a sort of common understanding, what's the difference?
Well, they do have legal significance, Your Honor. They have legal significance because it's the underlying basis for making the decision. That's what that's why the board here said that Mr. Withers was not unemployable, is because the board said he could do sedentary or light or limited work, even though he could not do it on a sustained basis, which the board also acknowledged. That's my point about the legal significance. It's the heart of what is going on in these decisions. And so without a clear standard, no one knows what test to use. The veteran doesn't know what evidence to submit. And yes, it does go to the examinations in the sense that they say things like the veteran cannot stand for more than 15 or 30 minutes. Does that mean over the course of a day? Does that mean in an hour? Does that mean over 20 minutes? And so it affects that, and then it affects the board, but it also infects this court's ability to assess what the board did.
Counsel, are we looking at widely disparate outcomes in the application of 4.16 in your judgment? I haven't seen a lot of cases that seem to be all over the board on substantially gainful employment.
We're looking at standardless adjudications, Your
okay.
Honor.
All right. Fair enough. The case of Moore. Are you familiar with that case, Ms. Cook?
I am, but perhaps not the details.
1 Vet App 356.
Yes.
1991. Written by Judge Mankin. Defines substantially gainful employment as that which is ordinarily followed by the non-disabled to earn their livelihood with earnings common to the particular occupation in the community where the veteran resides. It's on page 2. Mm-hmm. So let's accept that for a moment as a working definition, and let's look at that in the context of Mr. Withers. It seems to me that Mr. Withers is clearly has disabilities that affect his ability to be employed in a regular occupation, and some of the work that he is doing seems to be sedentary. However, I understand the board did not follow the Social Security Administration's disability determination, and as a result, Mr. Withers, your client, was found to be employable, even though not employable in the normal course of his capability had he not had gunshot injuries and other problems, PTSD issues and all that. So are you suggesting that the work that Mr. Withers has been doing was not sedentary work?
I believe it was sedentary. It may have been light. He retired from that work because of a combination of his psychiatric and gunshot wound disabilities.
Right.
And that was the basis on which Social Security used his psychiatric disabilities as an alternative basis for finding that he was entitled to Social Security disability benefits.
So do you think the department should use Social Security standards?
I think they should use the Department of Labor definition of what sedentary work entails. And I think that they should recognize that sedentary work, like all work, has non-exertional components, such as reliability, concentration.
Why do you think that the Department of Veterans Affairs should use the Department of Labor's definition?
Because it's the only authoritative definition that exists, and because the definition that they have offered, that the Secretary has offered, has such huge gaps as to be almost meaningless. It simply does not provide any guidance. And we can see that here. I mean, the board decision in this case relied on the examiner's as to the veteran's, the examiner's conclusions as to the veteran's ability, supposed ability to do sedentary work. But they did not consider his psychiatric impairment at all. They did not talk about his problems getting along with people. They did not talk about his problems with concentration or memory. They didn't talk about any of that.
Would those factors be considered under the definition that you are advancing?
Yes, because those are non-exertional factors that should be incorporated into the concept of what is required for substantially gainful employment or what is work. And it's consistent with what this court has held in, or recognized rather, in both Gleicher and Beatty, that there are these other elements. It's not just a matter of what is physically required, but what is required beyond the physical movements of work. As I said, showing up.
I mean, Counsel, we could certainly recognize deficiencies and explanations, but what authority would we have to order an executive agency to adopt a particular definition?
This court has the authority to define the terms that the secretary uses in its decisions under 7261, and that
so for us to define it?
Yes, just as the court did in Faust, defined it in terms of some of the economic terms, the economic aspect.
But there, weren't they talking about something in a regulation? Here we don't have a statute or a regulation that contains these words.
That is true, but again, the board is using these terms on a regular basis, and they are a critical piece of deciding whether a person can or cannot perform substantially gainful work.
Then is the question whether the board in its decision has an obligation to explain what it means by using those terms, or is there some legal requirement for VA to define a term that doesn't appear in regulation or statute?
I think that the VA should define it, but in the absence of the VA defining it, I think this court should define it. I do think that the board, simply for the board to define it on its own, again, there's just going to be this random amount as random results as we try to, as is shown by the board decisions we cited as supplemental authority last week, showing that after Cantrell was decided, in which this court said that it, because there was not another definition, it would leave it to VA to define the term protected work environment, and the board's all over the place. So that's why we're asking the court to define the term until the secretary defines it in some meaningful way. I see my time is up. Is there, no other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. The issue before the court is the board's determination that appellant is not entitled to an award of TDIU.
Ms. Leahy, why hasn't the department defined sedentary work?
Sedentary work and, or sedentary employment, those phrases do not appear in VA statute or VA regulation. And as your questions earlier pointed out, that there is no legal authority for VA to, or any executive agency, to define terms that do not appear in the regulations. There's no reason for the board to provide a or the secretary to provide a glossary of ordinary terms to enable understanding. There's no requirement on medical examiners to use specific terms or define those specific terms when they are just common ordinary terms.
So does that mean the board has no guidance on what sedentary work means?
No. As your question pointed out, we understand what sedentary work means. It doesn't mean that they can do a 40-yard dash, but or lift boxes of 50 pounds or more, but they are generally working and sitting at a desk and sit primarily most of the time. And that just the nature of that definition also includes that there are other things that the veteran or the person that is employed in a sedentary position is capable of doing and will be doing throughout the day, but it's primarily marked by sitting.
So how can you tell different levels of a person's capacity to do sedentary work if there's no definition?
There is a definition. The ordinary common meaning is a definition, and that is capable of consistent application by VA and by and it facilitates judicial review. But also the key standard is substantially gainful employment. It's not whether a veteran, particular veteran, can perform sedentary work or physical work or type of work. Those what those phrases are about, type of work. And this court recognized in Ferraro v. Derwinski that the type of work that a veteran is capable of performing is not the appropriate adjudicative standard for determining entitlement to TDIU. Rather, the pertinent question under 38 CFR 4.16 is whether a veteran is capable of securing or following substantially gainful employment as a result of his service-connected disabilities.
What does that mean?
As you pointed out, and more, which is the same definition that the board provided in this case, I believe that's at the page 5 of the decision, that definition is
Page two
of Moore, and then page five of the board decision in this case,
right.
Your Honor. The ability to, which is ordinary followed by the non-disabled, to earn their livelihood with earnings common to the particular occupation in the community where the veteran resides. This suggests a living wage. And there's no indication that in this case, that appellant, other than his lay contentions and the Social Security determination, that appellant is not able to secure or follow substantially gainful employment.
What about the psychological impact that appellant's counsel alluded to?
Well, it's important also that that is part of the consideration for substantially gainful employment, which, again, is the actual standard under 4.16. And the board, in this case, did discuss that. In the November 2012 VA PTSD examination, the examiner found that, acknowledged that appellant does have some issues concentrating, things of that nature, but those symptoms would not be so, are not so severe as such as to preclude veteran from securing or following substantially gainful employment. The board discussed that at pages 11 and 12 of their decision.
The board decision?
Yes.
Let's take a look at that for a second. Paragraph begins with the 2012 VA PTSD decision. Is that correct? Examination noted. I'm sorry. 2012 VA PTSD examination. Is
yes,
that sure. The place that you're referencing? Veteran suffered from chronic and mild PTSD and depressive disorder not otherwise specified. Examiner indicated the condition resulted in occupational and social impairment due to mild or transient symptoms which decrease work efficiency and ability to perform occupational tasks only during periods of significant stress or symptoms controlled by medication. Is there conclusion? However, the symptoms did not impair the veteran's functioning to such an extent that they would preclude gainful employment. So does that suggest that the appellant can do sedentary work?
The examiner specifically stated that that could be associated with decreased work deficiency regardless of whether the veteran can perform work that involves physical or sedentary tasks. But the key is whether it's substantially gainful employment. It's not about necessarily whether it's sedentary work or physical or work that requires physical labor. That's not the standard that's for the board in determining entitlement to TDIU.
Okay.
Why then, why are examiners using this phrase then? I mean, they're obviously, they don't know about 4.16. That's a sort of legal conclusion, right? I mean, in my understanding, I mean, examiners make discrete factual findings. A person can lift, they can stand, they can walk. Why then, you know, ultimately, I mean, is this sedentary employment of any sort of adjudicative significance in this case for an examiner?
It is not of adjudicative significance. It's part of, certainly part, if an examiner happens to discuss whether a veteran is able to do sedentary work or work requiring physical labor, then the type of work is certainly one piece of the evidence that the board will consider in determining the ultimate.
But I mean, it seems to me to be a conclusion based on other predicate factual findings. You know, and it, so in that sense, it's either superfluous, meaning it's a sort of substitute for a factual finding that a person can stand or sit or lift or do any number of things that a medical examiner would figure out, or it has some independent adjudicative significance that really would be not proper at the examiner level. And I'm not quite sure I can square this circle.
Well, Your Honor, I think that it does fall, it's not in one of those two categories. It is a conclusion, but I don't believe that it is superfluous because it is the examiner, in the examiner's opinion, you know, it goes through and discusses the actual functional effects, lifting, carrying, being able to walk for a certain period of time, things like that, and then describing or commenting on, as the manual provision provides, in Part 4, 2i, I believe F2D, that the examiner can comment on what those functional effects, how they would impact on physical work or work that is sedentary in nature. And so that's sort of, it's kind of wrapping it up, and in that it's the examiner's discussion of those functional effects.
So it would extend no beyond that, no further than that, the facts of that case, it's a sort of summary of the conclusion of the predicate findings that an examiner would make in that
case. I think
it
is in this case, I believe, that I don't want to represent that for all cases, but that is what it is here. But it's not, like you mentioned, it's not part of the adjudicative standard. It's just a piece of the evidence for the board to consider. Medical examiners are the ones that generally make that determination. It would be part of the medical determination that the examiner does.
in coming to the conclusion that you think we should rely on the ordinary meaning of this term, you cite a case law that has to do with the normal canons of statutory and regulatory construction. Do you think those cases apply in a situation like this where the words do not appear in a regulation or a statute?
I think that the ordinary meaning canon applies in all contexts, not just words that are not in a statute or regulation. I think it is pertinent that the words sedentary work do not appear in the regulation because it's not part of the standard that the Secretary has chosen for entitlement to TDIU benefits. But the ordinary meaning canon, I believe, applies to all texts, not just legal or not just statute or regulations.
And is it your position, based on what you said at the beginning of your argument, that VA is not permitted to define this term, or is it that you're not required to?
The Secretary has chosen not to. The Secretary has not chosen to include this in his regulation, and I believe that the Board is not required to provide a specific definition of the term in their decision in order to render their reasoned statement of reasons or bases adequate. I think the ordinary meaning is sufficient to enable the appellant to understand the bases for the decision and then also to facilitate judicial review.
Would there be a downside to VA defining this term, particularly in light of all the different litigation that has stemmed from not having a definition?
Well, I think that could go down a path of when does the Secretary have to stop defining terms? I mean, if it's just a term of ordinary meaning, do we need to describe what employment that requires physical labor? Does that need a specific definition? Especially when it's not part of the adjudicative standard. The adjudicative standard is whether a veteran is unable to secure or follow substantially gainful employment. So I would see no reason that the Secretary would need to define the term.
Counsel, does using a common definition then lead, as Appellant's counsel suggests, to a widely different application at the board level?
No, Your Honor. I don't believe that it leads to a widely disparate or inconsistent application. And in any case that it does, that the board or a medical examiner finds that a veteran is capable of sedentary employment, this court has been able to review those determinations, and where a board has found, based on a medical examiner's opinion, that a veteran is capable of sedentary work, the court has been able to say, no, there was evidence in the record that actually this veteran is precluded from sitting for prolonged periods, which is the hallmark of sedentary employment. I believe that was the phrase used in the memorandum decision we cited in our supplemental response. And so, no, there would not be an issue with that.
Okay. Is there any reason why, to your knowledge, the department would not consider looking at the Department of Labor definition to define the term?
I think that the Department of Labor and the Social Security Administration definitions are inconsistent with how the Secretary has chosen to determine entitlement to TDIU. There is no indication that the Secretary wants to include sedentary work as part of the adjudicative standard. The standard is substantially gainful employment. It's not the type of work, as this court recognized in Ferraro. So there is no reason for that. Whereas in the Social Security context, the type of work that an individual in that context is capable of performing, such as sedentary work, light duty, heavy duty, medium duty, that's actually part of their determination of entitlement to benefits. That's in their regulations. It's part of their five-part system. And so that's the difference here. That's not part of VA's regulatory scheme. And we also don't believe that there is any legal authority for imposing on the Secretary another agency's definitions in this case, especially when those words are not included in the regulation. I think that's also key there, where this court and then the board decision cited by the appellant have looked for guidance on the definition of terms. Those have only been terms that have been included in the regulation, substantially gainful employment or employment in a protected work environment. Things like that.
Didn't this court in Faust, look to SSA regulations for guidance?
Yes, for a term that actually appeared in the regulation.
Gainful employment or something
A substantially
like that.
Gainful occupation, which is the court has found is synonymous with substantially gainful employment, yes.
So you're saying if the term does not appear in the regulations, there's no reason to consult the other definitions?
I think it would be... There's no reason here to consult. I think that is a key distinction on what this court has done in its prior case law in looking for understanding the meaning of terms. There are no further questions. The Secretary requests that the Court affirm the Board's March 2016 decision. Thank you.
The problem with the Secretary's argument is that they're allowing and demanding the right to allow the Board and all of its adjudicators to simply look at facts and come to a conclusion. Here are the facts of the veteran's case. He can walk. He can walk. He's limited to sitting, whatever. And that means he can or cannot do substantially gainful employment. But what's the test? They're missing that entire middle step of how do they know that that is the right conclusion? What are the standards that they are applying to those facts that allow it to reach the conclusion of able to work or not able to work? It can't just be facts and conclusion. There has to be a test that is applied. And the fact that the Secretary has so far chosen not to define the term makes this case no different from Cantrell. Yes, the term protected work environment, the phrase, was in the regulation. But the phrase substantially gainful employment is in the regulation. And the Secretary cannot justify his decisions without a standard.
Ms. Cook, do you have examples of disparate application of 4.16 substantially gainful employment?
I'm not off the top of my head, Your Honor, but I'd be happy to submit supplemental citation if that would be helpful to the court. But I think the problem is not so is that it is standardless. I mean, the Secretary has said that that these can be reviewed by the court, but they get reviewed by the court and sent back for inadequate reasons or bases. And why are they sent back for inadequate reasons or bases? It's because the Board has not taken into account all sorts of factors, such as the non-exertional ones that are required. And so that's the problem, is that no one knows what the rules are. The Secretary says there's no suggestion that this veteran cannot work. But one can only come to that conclusion if one knows what the standard for not being able to work is. And so we are asking that the court define the term. We believe that the court has the authority to do this under 7261. We believe it's required, given the Secretary's refusal at this point, to define the term in a way that includes the full scope of what work is. And based on that, the court could then reverse the Board's denial of Mr. Withers' case based on the uncontradicted evidence.
And your preference would be that the court use the Department of Labor definition. Do I understand that correctly?
That is correct, Your Honor, because as far as I know, it's the only authoritative definition there is.
Okay.
If there are no further questions.
Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much. The case is submitted for your consideration, and as is custom, the court will now come down to Greek Council.
All rise.